Hello and welcome to Law and Order S Review here on Fanversation. I am Yael Teagle. That's Taylor Gates. Hello, Taylor.
Hello.
Before we jump into season 25, episode 9, Children of Wolves, consider this. No, here's a number. If you need help, reach out to Rain. Their phone number is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. Taylor, what does that spell?
It spells hope.
It does spell hope. That's important. Also, consider this your content warning. This show deals with serious issues. This episode had a, as usual, heinous crime. And our podcast does not deal with serious in serious ways. So you've been warned. We'll say some things. I will say some things.
Yeah, maybe you'll say some things.
You don't have things to say.
No, I'm just going to sit here the whole time. Great. Dead silent.
Perfect.
Cool.
As we should. Again, this is season 25, episode 9, Children of Wolves. Here is the quick cap. A teenager found unconscious in the park leads to a missing person investigation. Benson must help Noah come to terms with the past when he questions the origins of his birth. We'll talk about Noah later. Let's deal with the case. Yeah, that should be the right order. Or do you want to talk about Noah first?
No, that's fine. We can talk about the case first.
Okay. For those who don't know, this episode was directed by Marischka. So definitely amazing applause for her. This is not her first time directing, but I really liked the directing and the editing of this one. I think the transition, for very specific detail, the transition of Little Red to Rosie was beautifully done.
Yes, and also, well, we can talk about it more in the Noah stuff, but lots to say and unpack about that.
Okay. I retitled this episode Shit Moms.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt, not that we'll talk about the Noah stuff later, but I felt like Benson's behavior towards Noah, and then both Rosie and Sydney's moms, and then the Seth's mom. I'm going to be honest, every mom on this, shit moms.
Bad. So weird. Such odd behavior from everybody. I for sure thought Sydney's stepmom was in on it. So I'm like, you're acting so suspicious. Like, you're just not acting like a normal person would in this situation.
Totally.
Red flags, but...
Shit moms.
Yeah.
Season 25, episode 9, shit moms.
Yeah.
Deanna is live in the chat, so is Daryl. Hello, guys. Deanna says, shots fired. Oh, man.
Speak the truth.
Yeah. Let's talk about the crime in this episode, because it was vicious, and the forensics of it was interesting. The way that the team was investigating was interesting. This is the second time that we've had, specifically Bruno, but our cops going and like looking at local precincts and being like, hey, why don't you tell me who sucks in your town?
Yeah, seriously. Well, that does make sense because he's from Bronx originally. So like he knows that it's important to actually use your resources and not just be siloed off as you work.
That is true. You make an excellent point. I just thought it was so interesting. This is the second time where they were like, oh, why don't we check like the little things and see who, you know, has been arrested before, who's in the system.
Yeah.
For little things and see. It just felt odd. What did you think about this case and this whole wolf pack attack?
I mean, I didn't think it was particularly new. I mean, it's basically just a gang rape. Yeah. Like, I don't really understand why we have a new term for it. But okay. But I, here's the thing. When it started off, I was like, okay, like this is fine. Like it's whatever. But then we got to the hostage part and I love a hostage negotiation episode. I always think that's like, I don't know. I just always think it's dramatic and sort of fun to watch them like negotiate and have them on the phone. And of course the hostage people are like, we're taking the shot whenever we see it. They're like, no, you can't do that every single time. Like, it's just a given at this point. That's just like the dialogue they've copy paste. But I always think that's like a, like, I don't know. It's weird to say fun situation, but I always think that the stakes feel high and it feels very dramatic and exciting.
You've said a few things that I want to comment on. First of all, I totally agree with you that we now have this wolf pack. I was like, I guess you're totally right that it is a gang. It's a gang rape, right? But also, yeah. Like, they were like, is it a gang initiation? They were like, no. And I went, okay, so that's what, or is that why we're using this new term? Because otherwise, and then the fact that they specifically choose to use that term, later they use the term tonic immobility, which we'll get into later. But I was like, you mean fight, flight, or freeze? Like, we've already, why are we giving new terms? And we'll talk about the difference between those in a bit. But I agree with you. I think that the case itself wasn't that new. I think the like supporting characters were interesting. I think the stepmom, you're right, was very sus. And then Rosie's parents offering to pay the ransom for Sydney. What amazing parents. Yeah. Their instinct was to take care of their daughter's best friend. It was like so moving. But also, what?
Yeah, I thought their whole character, I thought the whole Rosie thing was very strange, period, because she kind of didn't matter ultimately, right? You know what I mean? I was like, it's a bummer, like, I hate that, but also, I guess it did sort of act as the catalyst for Olivia to snap, because that was some crazy shit.
We'll get to that.
That maybe was it, but in terms of, like, her being a victim, and even bringing her parents in, I was like, what's the point? Like, I like don't see how this is adding much to things. So
I agree. But I know you love a hostage situation. Yeah. This was, I think, one of the most disappointing hostage negotiation mm-hmm. scenes. I was kind of bored. It also felt like Benson didn't, like, she definitely didn't do what she was supposed to, and she's been trained. And the fact that she was off on her own talking to him on the cell, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be recorded. There's supposed to be people listening in. Like, there's there's a process. But wait, real important, because Daryl said it in the chat. Saying they'll take the shot, does that make sense when there are four assailants and one victim?
Yeah. But you know what we needed in this situation?
What did we need?
We needed Rollins to pull a "you're one of the good guys." And totally. I was like, the whole time, I was like, where is the "you're one of the good guys" speech? Call her back in. She's here all the time anyway, even though she's not on the show. Be like, listen, girl, we know that you're one of the good guys speech, and we need that now. Because this guy loved to, like, torture animals and shit. Like, I feel like he would really eat that up. We needed that.
I agree with you. I think that would have been the right, definitely not the right move, but also a better move than what we got. Because I think that Benson's behavior was un-Benson-like. The fact that sorry, Deanna says, I miss Rollins, she could be the new Wong. Totally. But Benson's behavior, and then to do this whole detour in the car, I appreciate that Carisi was like, the lawyers have a case. Easy case for coercion. Like, you definitely messed up. And I, in this moment, when she told Velasco to put him in the car, all I could think was, 25 seasons, Benson is supposed to be, within Copaganda, she is supposed to be held to a higher standard. Benson is the epitome of what our hopes for police could be. She is the one that cops should watch and be like, I should be like her. And yet, she does, as Daryl says in the chat, Stabler adjacent behavior.
Like, I'll be honest, watching and pretending that this has nothing to do with our society, pretending that it doesn't matter, was it fun? Did I enjoy it? Sure. But you're right. It's not okay. Period. Like, it's just not okay. And also, she gets off so easy. Curry's like, oh, you're lucky I was an IAB. It shouldn't be a joke afterthought. Like, she should actually be in reporting
her. She should report her. Yeah. I agree. Curry, you're not, you may not be IAB, but you are a person who saw that she crossed the line.
Yeah, like I said, like, did I have fun? Sure. But it's icky when you actually think about it. You know what I mean?
I'll say, if you want to go this route and have this fun, as we say, right? For entertainment purposes, I see the enjoyment. Then have consequences. Mm-hmm. Like, pay off this detour.
It doesn't even have to be crazy. Just be like, listen, you're off for the next week because you need to chill the fuck out. Like,
or have like something with Velasco, because if I remember correctly, there was a whole storyline
yeah.
about him covering up for somebody.
Oh, you're so right. It's so hypocritical when you really think about it.
Especially because I gotta say, his whole his behavior going along with her was so stupid. Because I was so I was rewatching, and my roommate watches this episode with us, with me. So he points out, he was like, Velasco is just a good improviser. You know, he's just adding. And I went, he's not adding anything. He's just yesing. Everything she said, he would just repeat. He didn't add to it. He
Yeah.
didn't yes and.
You just
Velasco
yes.
was just yes.
You just yes. Yes, man.
Like she was like, put him in the car. And he was like, I'm gonna put him in the car. We're gonna do a reenactment. We're gonna do a reenactment.
Yeah.
Way to help, Velasco.
Echo.
Yeah, it's have consequences.
Yes, agreed.
There's also like a whole problem with this idea of comparing people and animals and dehumanizing people. There's a big problem with dehumanizing people with mental illness, and to say that essentially it felt like we were trying to assign to Seth some sort of sociopathy or something. That felt odd, especially because we didn't like, we one, didn't go that path, and two, didn't really dive into it. It just felt like we threw a label at him. You know what I mean?
It felt convenient too, because that's the first time he'd heard about that. And I get his mom's an exterminator or whatever, but that also complicates things because I'm like, that was his job. Like,
Right.
frankly, that was what he, like, I guess we got enjoyment out of it, whatever, but it felt very thrown in. Like, we didn't even know this guy at all before we got there. And then we all of a sudden know all this stuff about him and assume all this stuff about him, which I think it was the fact that we didn't have any foreshadowing or information before that point to make that feel natural in a way. Like, we didn't really even discuss that until we're on the phone with him. Like, where did this come from?
I agree. And again, like the whole conversation on the phone was so weird.
Yeah, I feel like almost it was like I understood it because I've seen all these episodes. Like, he has mommy issues and weird stuff with that. And
Shit
then,
moms.
yeah, and that animal torture, whatever. But I feel like that only made sense for me because I've seen almost this exact circumstance so many times. So I could sort of fill in the blanks. But if you look at it objectively with someone who maybe hasn't seen every episode, they'll be like, what? Like, that wouldn't really make sense if you're not that familiar with the show and like the kinds of people we work with almost.
I totally agree with you. Taking it back just a sec, because Jasmine in the chat says, I thought that's why Benson chose Velasco to come with her because he has the history. So he thought she wouldn't that he wouldn't tell. But the whole scene wasn't necessary. I totally agree. Great point that maybe that is why she chose
Yeah,
him.
that was smart.
Totally good call.
And like, here's the thing. Maybe it was, I mean, I'm feeling like we are to assume that this is hitting her extra hard because of the Maddie stuff. That's what I'm assuming, at least. That's what we're to assume. But you have to hang a lantern on that a little bit with this episode of like, because Alexa on the chat says Benson went to her extreme in 0 to 60, which is true. And it's like the thing that sort of ticked her off to that point was the fact that she was taken off life support and she died. I get it. That's
She
sad because
didn't
it
know that
happened.
yet.
She did. She knew it right before.
No, she doesn't know that the girl's taken off life support until they capped or until they saved Sydney. She didn't know till it was over. She's on the phone, says to Carisi, I've got good news. Sydney's out. And he says, I wish I had the same. They took her off life support. She did not know that that Maddie was dead.
Right.
Or not Maddie.
But the
Rosie.
playground happened after that.
Yes, sorry. You're totally
Yeah.
right. My
Yeah.
mistake.
Yeah. I was like, wait, am I going crazy?
No. I thought she snapped I thought we were considering her behavior on the phone call as a snap, but you're totally right.
No, I'm talking about when she was like, we are going not to the precinct.
Yes, yes, yes. 100%. She finds out. You're right. My mistake. My mistake, everyone.
No, you're good. You're good. I was like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, she finds out that Rosie is dead and then puts him in the car and takes him to the playground.
But to assume that like the fact that she didn't make it is what makes her go completely off the deep end, which is fine, but there has to be a connection to that because you've dealt with death 8,000 times. You've been at this for 25 seasons. So it has to be, oh, like Maddie almost didn't, whatever, you know, something like that. You have to connect it back to that, right? Or else I don't think it works with her character.
I totally agree with you. I think that the Maddie of it all being tied in, maybe you have all season where everyone's going, Benson, you need to, you know, you're taking Maddie too seriously. You're connecting everything to Maddie. And the one time she does, and it makes sense, they don't bring it up.
No one mentions it. Yeah. At least that's what I'm assuming. Or, I mean, I guess this episode is wanting us to assume it's because she has William Lewis and Johnny D flashbacks. But I don't really think that works. You know what I mean?
It's no, I agree with you. I think it was weird. But I think part of it is the information that that Carisi said to her that, you know, the case is Maddie's case is now muddled. And after Noah's like, but bad people get put away. Good guys are good and bad are bad. I think that I think it's part of that. It's just it was odd. It was odd.
Yeah,
Let's give some actor shout outs while we're here. let's do some positives. I will say this though before actually, because I found it very odd that Sykes didn't get involved in this case when we had a missing girl.
Yeah, she wasn't even there, was she?
No,
I remember seeing her. Yeah,
and I was like, after they realized that Sydney was missing, that's when I would have assumed that Sykes would have been involved because her whole thing is that she's an expert on missing kids.
Also, she could have done a You're One of the Good Guys because she's just Rollins. So real.
Damn, Taylor.
I'm sorry. Telling the truth.
Okay. So Denise Lynch, that's the stepmom, was Carrie Butler. Seth was played by Riley Walters. Sydney, our missing girl, was played by Amelina Ace. Rosie was played by Audrey Bennett. Her parents were played by Marika Egelhart and Sean Gallagher. And then there were the other boys. Seth's mom was played by Sharon Stowe. I will say that Rosie's parents, first of all, Rosie's favorite color being red. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Convenient.
Right? And then when the parents were asked, do you know her friends? And they show the picture. And the dad goes, sorta. And the mom's like, yes, that's her best friend.
So that's so real, actually. Okay, but I need to say.
Yeah.
They were gay, right?
The girls?
Yeah.
Sydney and Rosie?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
I just read it that way so hard. I was like, they're going to find out they were dating, all this stuff. Like, I'm like, they are queer.
Sure.
We're so up for real right now. And I can't believe we didn't get that. I just read them as so, the way that, I don't know. I just read it so much like that. But now we will never get that because Rosie is dead. It's a bummer. Anyway.
Huh. I can't wait to rewatch now.
I don't know. I just really picked it up. Picked up on that. I was like, you guys are dating.
Wait, remember the married couple?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The lesbian married couple that you did not pick up on.
Yeah. That's because this scene was infinitely gayer than that one.
Then they're discussing their wedding.
These two had so much chemistry and the other two were just kind of like there. I'm saying.
I love you.
It's true. To be honest.
Oh, that's funny. The chat is discussing, because we'll switch to the Noah crap now. This is so funny. The chat is amazing. So Deanna asked if Benson has told Stabler about William Lewis yet. And everyone says not yet. And then Deanna points out, crazy how Noah was able to call back, but Stabler hasn't said a word.
That is literally such a good point, actually.
Oh, man.
Also, screw you guys for making me watch William Lewis scenes again.
When it happened, both the flashbacks, all I could think was, oh, I hope Pablo Schreiber gets paid for that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he does. Residuals for using his likeness again.
Yeah. Not to tell a production how to save money, but we didn't need either of those flashbacks.
Yeah. I didn't want the flashbacks. I didn't want the William Lewis jump scare. Leave it out of here. We're done with that now. Please,
I just also feel like, if you don't know who William Lewis is or Johnny D and you're at this point, you don't care. Like, you're not that big of a fan enough to care. You watch episodes here and there when they come on.
Right. It wouldn't make a difference if, like, if you knew exactly what they're referencing. It could just be another fake reference like they threw into a case that didn't exist.
I mean, but also the flashback doesn't tell you anything more.
Yeah.
It, like, Noah doesn't know anything more. The flashbacks were unnecessary. Not the point. All right, let's talk about this Noah crap. This was...
Hey.
Yes?
You say that, but I actually kind of thought it was pretty good. Pretty well done. I do have to say, Noah, listen, it's crazy that kids grow up so fast because he looks so much older now. That freaks me out that kids grow up so fast and they look so different so quickly.
I mean, the kid's like... What, over 13 now, isn't he?
I know, but I just imagine him like so little.
Hold on, I'm looking this shit up.
He was like 8 last time. It's crazy.
Guys, he was born in 2010.
Oh, don't ever say that to me. It's so scary.
Ugh. So he's 14.
Wow. He just looks way older than he did last time.
Yes.
Well, not in a bad way. It's just crazy. Like, kids do growing up real fast. They hit that growth spurt and it's like.
I mean, to be fair, between like last season and now, they had a long time. There was a strike.
I was just shook to my core. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I will say, Jasmine in the chat says, I'm just surprised Liv didn't have parental controls on laptops or tablets. That's a fair point. I'm surprised he didn't Google her earlier. And my problem with the Noah crap is, and to be fair, I'm just calling it that. I have no issues. My problem is Benson says to him, my job as your mom is to decide when to have these conversations. And this is not how we do it. And I was like, shit, mom, your kid is telling you that he's ready.
I agree with you. I think that she was scrambling. She didn't expect it. And that's was sort of her like defensiveness coming out. I agree it wasn't the right choice, but I think that she ultimately knew that wasn't right either, because she at the end fixed that sort of mistake. I think that she did some reflecting. She probably talked about it in therapy of like, no, actually it's kind of his choice when he chooses to want to talk about that. And I feel like she was just very on the like caught off guard defensive mode. And then she sort of had an evolution and realization at the end, because she tried to sort of fix it and mend it. That's what how I read it.
Doreen in the chat, I think, agrees with you that she was stammering. Deanna points out Noah got a DNA test to find out his own biological brother. When is it not time? I agree. Alexa says that's Benson's problem. She's not ready for anything personal. I agree. Everyone in the chat's so smart today. Not that you guys aren't usually smart. Let me clarify.
Okay, y'all.
I love you all. I guess my brain's not working, and I appreciate that the chat is taking over.
Yes.
I just think she should have been ready, right? Like, it's story-wise, he's, what, 11, 12, let's say?
You could tell me any number from 8 to 16 and I'd believe you.
Sure. She's had years. And the part where she's like, what do you know? And he says, I know nothing but names. Yours, mine, and my biological father. And then she starts talking about Ellie, and I went, he knows about Ellie from Grandma Sheila.
And that takes us to the point I wanted to point out. Because if you were listening to the Little Red Riding Hood story, that was unhinged, some of the stuff that they said. The mother is fond of her, but the grandmother loves her even more. I said, so we're bringing Sheila up now, no? Because that's interesting thing to say, even if that's how the story goes. You think that you would read a different part of that story if we're not going to bring up Grandma Sheila of it all.
You make an excellent point as well.
Huh. That's crazy.
It just... Also, I felt more disappointed that we did not have the rest of that conversation. I would like to know how she told him about it, because we have the line with when she's talking to Carisi, and she says, is he strong enough to find out his father was a rapist? And Carisi says, you were. And I think that the conversation to then have with Noah about who his parents, biological parents are, who his sperm and egg donors are, is interesting. And to explain to him about it and why we ended up where we did, if that's assuming that's the conversation. To be fair, we have no idea what he knows now, right? Yeah. At this point, he knows that his biological mother was named Ellie, and that his biological father was Johnny D, and that Johnny D's dead. And I believe he knows that Ellie's dead because of Sheila. So, like, does he know anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we'll get more of that. Because I think what I appreciate about this one is that a lot of times I feel like the kids are kind of props in SVU, which is fine. But I liked that it was, like, we're genuinely focusing on him and his background and Olivia and how she's going to deal with this as a parent, instead of it being like tying into a case. Like, I think that can be fun too, but I appreciated that they actually devoted some real time to it and real like characterization, because Noah kind of just like has popped up before this, like here and there, whatever, when they're walking down the street or whatever. Like, I don't know, this felt very real to me and actually showed what their dynamic is like, which I thought was nice, because we don't get that a whole lot as opposed to just like a couple of snapshots. Like, I don't know. I really like that they actually sat down and did it, and they're acting their asses off, which I appreciate.
Taylor Strickland in the chat says, I feel disappointed too. I wanted to hear more, and I wonder if they're going to break it up into parts. Also, good question. I would love to see, like, maybe they just started there and the next episode they'll talk a little bit more or something. Like, I think we have this amazing opportunity, and I know I've said this many times before, but to see Benson raising a son and to see her dealing with a child much better than Stabler ever dealt with his kids. You know what I mean? Teaching him about consent in a way that you explain to children, the way that you should explain to children, teaching the way that they would when they go to schools and talk to kids, but never the way that like Stabler talked to his daughters, where he was like, don't go out, don't dress up, don't talk to boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, like that little moment with Carisi of like, is he strong enough to whatever? And he said, you were, which I knew he was going to say, because it's like, yeah, I'm glad he said that, because they didn't forget her history, which I appreciate. And there are so many interesting parallels between the two. And I think that could be really interesting to have her talk about, yes, his past, but have her kind of having to reckon with that too, in a way that's different than with someone on the squad or with a therapist. Like, telling your kid has to be a lot different and has to be challenging in its own ways, probably healing in its own ways too, frankly. And so I think that could be really interesting to see her reckon with that and maybe have something good come out of that, and her be able to process something in a different way because she's doing it with her kid. So I don't know. I think that could be a cool opportunity.
I love what you're saying. I would love to see, you know, the conversation continue where he is like, okay, so now I know about Ellie and Johnny D and Sheila. What about your parents? And then to have her be like, let me tell you my story. Yeah. Because you're right. They do have that in common. Yeah. I also think, and this was I'm not saving it for lines because I think it was just so weird and I want to talk about it. The idea that she felt like having an OnlyFans account would be easier to explain.
Okay.
Go on. Explain that then. What do you mean?
Literal sex crimes, babe. Like, it should not be that crazy to you.
So weird. Okay. Any other thoughts on this episode before we move to best lines?
I'm trying to look at my notes.
While you do that, Alexa in the chat says, Olivia and Noah are the actual children of wolves, but turned out great.
Nice. I like that. I want to know what Jacob Elordi movie they saw.
Okay.
I just want to point that out because what Jacob Elordi movie is out at the time that they are you guys watching Saltburn? Are you guys watching Priscilla? I wanted to know that. yeah, that's pretty much it. Just want to know which one they saw. I love how they put the names of real people into it. But you guys have to back it up because neither of those movies are in theaters anymore. You gotta say Austin Butler for Dune 2. You gotta say Timothy Chalamet for one of his movies. You know what I mean? I don't like that.
Okay.
You gotta have continuity if you're gonna say a real date and time.
Did you look at the date and time?
What date and time was it?
I don't know.
It's always around like the actual date and time it is in life.
I don't know.
None of those movies are in theaters anymore, you guys.
Were they in theaters a month ago?
No.
Okay, then. Never mind.
So.
Taylor, I love you. I mean, if we're gonna start doing that, can we talk about the need for a Carisi stealing a quote and reworking it from The Dark Knight in 2008? Some people just want to cause pain as opposed to some people just want to watch the world burn.
I mean,
I was like, you really are just going to quote The Dark Knight and hope that no one notices?
I kind of love that, actually. It's really funny.
He said it and I went, are you fucking kidding me?
He said, okay. Walmart, Dark Knight.
To be fair, that is the most Carisi thing ever. To try to pass off The Dark Knight as something smart.
Aye, aye, aye.
Did the song Lip Gloss start playing in your head? Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one?
When they were like the lip gloss on the
song. Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden my head went,
my lip gloss is popping.
Yeah.
All the boys be stopping.
Yeah, they chase me after school. Yeah.
Good song.
Okay, let's do lines. I have one, and then it's all yours.
Great.
And it's consensual, the beating, the choking, the torture, the murder.
Right. Okay.
Because up until murder, the rest of it could have been.
True.
Stuff people are into.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right, go on.
I love when they were talking about, I think it was a stepmom, or I don't remember if it was a mom or a stepmom. She's a sommelier. She can't be around strong scents. It messes with her palate.
Okay. The stepmom.
That's what I figured. I was like, okay.
Shit moms.
Yeah. She was, I just have to reiterate how I'm shocked she didn't have something to do with this because we had spent so much time talking about how she was like the only parent in life. She like was totally fine with her just like being at a friend's house, clearly sounding coerced. I don't know, you were shady as hell. And I recognized the actress, so I was like, I feel like she's gonna get a bigger role. Crazy. We didn't. She was just kind of there. We brought something for you. Hope you brought a microscope. Get him. I liked that. They look like they're still in high school. I bet they don't have perfect attendance. So true. Boys like you start. I didn't write this line down right. Essentially, it was like boys like you start torturing animals and then you slowly become one. I thought that was good. But
I think I have that one.
I wrote it down wrong. Sorry.
They start with animals, then they slowly become.
I said start as animals. And I was like, that ain't working. That'll work. I wrote that one down wrong.
But then
I,
they slowly become one. Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was good. And then finally, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is ask again. I was like, ooh. Ooh. Get him. We don't condone that. But it was fun to watch Mariska go off.
So. Back to your previous one about the becoming an animal. And she was like, are you a man or are you an animal? And then he was like, animals are weak. And I was like, no, they're not. Animals also, are actually so strong.
Humans are animals, guys. Like, that's pretty point. Basic biology.
But, not the point.
Not the point, but if we're going to get technical.
But also, animals are so strong.
Also, yeah, let's go ahead and put you somewhere with a bear. See what happens. Let's go ahead and put you with a lion. See what happens, babe.
Put him with a bear. What is he? Archie? From Riverdale?
Yeah. Oh my god, Riverdale crossover win.
For those who don't know, Archie fought a bear and survived. Deanna also, in the chat says, have you seen a hippo?
Period. Alligator, like with so many. So the highs and lows of triumphs and tribulations of high school football or whatever. It's another Riverdale line.
Nice. All right. I have news. Ooh, where's my news? News! I have two pieces of news. One is, we announced a few weeks ago, it was announced that SVU was renewed for a 26th season, but Organized Crime was not yet renewed. And the news rumors say now that it may get renewed on Peacock. Ooh, I hit the mic. It may move to Peacock if it doesn't get renewed on NBC, which I found fascinating.
Honestly, that sort of makes sense to me.
Totally.
Does Peacock, well, sometimes Peacock drops at the same time, sometimes it's week to week. I feel like Organized Crime can be a good one that drops at the same time a little bit because it is so connected.
Totally. But,
I don't know.
The other news, and this is a really exciting one, was this interview with Kevin Kane Moneybags on Collider. Oh my goodness.
Oh wow, who's the byline there?
I'm not really sure. Guys, Taylor interviewed Moneybags.
He was so fun. He was so cool.
Moneybags.
Hey, Moneybags. He was great. He gave me a lot of cool insight about working with Mariska, about the future of his character. He revealed that his wife calls him Moneybags at home, which I think is so funny and like probably was my favorite part of that interview. But it was great. He's great. And yeah, go read it. It's a good time.
I will make sure the link is in the description when we wrap up the show. So it's not there. Oh, you know what? I can do it right now. Ooh. Ha, I can do it right now. Boop, boop, boop. Mm-mm-mm. One sec, everybody.
I like the ASMR of you typing. I was like, I could talk, but we could just listen to the keyboard because people pay good money for that ASMR of it all.
Oh, man. Okay, so I can't change it right now. I'm so sorry. But I will change it as soon as we're done with this podcast.
Perfect.
I promise.
It's also on my Twitter, which I'll tell you where it is at the end of the episode.
Twitter. Okay. Is it time for shower thoughts?
Yeah.
For our friends who are listening in the shower, hello. Taylor, do you have any shower thoughts you want to share? If not, I can
pull you some shit out of my ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that your water is as warm as you like. I hope it's the right temperature. But also, I'm going to use this time to tell you about, because here are some shower thoughts.
Oh my god, I'm scared.
As you may know, I've been reading a lot of romance.
I need you to get it together right now. You need me to go first?
I just was thinking about all the shower scenes in the romance that I was reading. Oh, I can't keep it together. Take it away, Taylor.
I'm going to do a performance. My lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss is popping. I don't remember the next line.
I think it's actually the other way around. I think it's my lip gloss is popping.
My lip gloss is cool. Wait, do I need to look up the genius lyrics for this? Hold on. I love this song. I used to listen to it all the time in high school.
It's so catchy.
Okay. Where's the part I'm looking for? They say my lip gloss, you're right. They say my lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss be popping. I'm standing at my locker and all the boys be stopping. What you know about me? What you know about me?
Perfect. Those are the shower thoughts.
You can stream on my performance, not the podcast, my performance of lip gloss on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere you listen to music.
Alexa, our amazing organized crime correspondent, has filled us in because I've given up on that show and I will not watch it. She says Stabler went undercover again. That's all you need to know about organized crime. It's still a really great show worth watching, says Alexa. I want to clarify that this is her opinion.
And we love that for Alexa and the people who like the show.
Yes, I'm so happy that you enjoy it. Because I don't. Yeah. All right. It's time for the segment we always forget about, but I'm prepared today.
I am too.
What did we learn? Taylor, what did you learn?
I didn't know that people like shrunk wrapped their boats like that during the winter months. I thought that was so wild. I was like, oh, that's so interesting. So I learned that, the shrink wrapping of the boats.
Oh, amazing. That is something that I didn't know either, that like... Yeah. But it makes sense the way that people like put the thing, a tarp over their car when it rains or whatever.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I never knew.
Nice. Good one. Nice. I looked into tonic immobility as compared to the fight or flight that we've heard of. And we've learned through SVU about fight, flight, or freeze. And we've learned through SVU about fight, flight, freeze, or fawn for different reactions. But what does that make tonic immobility? So tonic immobility, why are words hard?
It is kind of a tongue twister.
Thank you. Is a reflex that causes a temporary state of inactivity in an animal. So they chose to use that term to describe Sydney's behavior as opposed to just she froze, right? Usually on this show, they would be like, oh, you froze, and that's a normal response. Mm-hmm. But they specifically use this term because it's something that happens in animals. It occurs in a variety of different species, including many sharks and rays. And when I looked it up, there were pictures of, you know, when people are like, play possum. So I think possums do this.
Interesting. I have to say, I did kind of like how they really leaned into like the theme, and that sounds really weird, but even having the like dog collar and leash, like very disturbing obviously, but it was so obviously like a dog collar and leash, and it's like the animal thing going on. So I did kind of like how that all sort of tied together, even though it's obviously very disturbing. I think you're right, it shows good attention to detail.
Totally, it was all connected. Which makes me laugh because it reminds me of like last episode, which was the third man syndrome, where it had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. We're either going all in or we're like not going in whatsoever.
Yeah. Alexa coming in with the facts. She learned about the boat shrinking on organized crime a couple weeks ago. Think they got a 2-for-1 filming location deal.
Honestly, they might have. Like that kind of does check out.
I mean, they needed to save the money so that they could do the flashbacks.
Yep.
Boy. So good. All right. On that note, if you don't watch the promos for next week is Maddie's case, the like trial and stuff. Which I guess makes sense since Carisi hasn't been doing anything.
Nothing. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, we have not been in the courtroom for many weeks now.
He literally just keeps making deals. This episode, there was some line, I don't remember what it was, but he was like, I'm going to put him away or something. And I was like, not if you keep making deals.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was when Benson was like, you know, Noah still thinks that bad guys go to jail or go to prison. And he's like, I'm trying. And I was like, not if you keep making deals.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's not, you know, prosecuting people, and I'm pretty sure he's a prosecutor.
You know what? It's fine. Get your bag, Peter.
I'm not saying get rid of Carisi. Keep him.
No, but you're right. He just kind of has not had to do much.
I mean, not just that. He literally is, hilariously, we have two captains, right? Benson and Curry. And yet we have Carisi coming in, barking orders at the team. This time and the last few episodes being like, get me this, find me that. Narrow this search. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're not a cop. Two, you're not their boss. Three, they have two captains already.
Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts? Is it about your
lip gloss? Yeah, a very irrelevant one, which is when they were reading about like the whole Children of Wolves and like wolf stuff. If you've seen Killers of the Flower Moon, like that's all I was thinking about the whole time. I was like, you kind of ripped off. Do you see the wolves in this picture from Killers of the Flower Moon? But I digress. It's a good movie and you should watch it. And Lily Gladstone's amazing. Anyway.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
I guess on that note, I'll remind everybody that you can buy silly swag, including Detective Moneybags t-shirts.
Which we all need.
You want to hear something funny that I think everyone will enjoy? I'm going to give you my train of thought. We have I Survived Hudson University shirts and stickers. And earlier I was talking to my roommate about romance novels and about universities and behavior that happens at universities. And he was like, oh, well, that happens at Hudson all the time. And I was like, wow, he's seen too much SVU if he can tell me the school where shit goes down.
He's seen the right amount of SVU.
Not enough.
You're right.
I should sit down with him and watch from season one.
You should.
Because I have that time.
That would be an insane, project.
I know people have done it previous years.
Yeah, it probably took them years.
Somebody do the math. Because this season is only 23. No, this season is only 13 episodes.
Well, every other one is like at least 20.
Not The Last Strike.
Well, okay. The vast majority of them are like at least 22 or something.
Yeah, they're 20, 22, and 24. Anyway. This season apparently is very short, and it's already, this was episode 9, so we are almost done with the season.
Yep.
Oof. What a bummer. But until next week, when we're back to discuss the next episode, Taylor, if people want to find you and this mysterious tweet about this article that will be in the link below, where are you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann. I'm also on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I'm also at Collider, obviously, doing interviews with Kevin Kane and other people. So you can always just check out my Collider portfolio, too, if you would like to read more of what I write and do.
She got to talk to Moneybags. Amazing. I'm so jealous. I am Yael Teagle. I am on the internet on Instagram at Yael Teagle, that is YaelTyGiel. I also have a Bookstagram where I talk about smutty romance novels and recently received a bunch of ARC books. So I'm very happy to share those. That is at Good Little Library Mouse on Instagram. We had a full chat today. Thank you so much for being here, Alexa and Deanna and Daryl and Jasmine and Taylor Strickland, who has to be called by her full name.
Doreen.
Oh, thank you. I'm scrolling. I know there were other Deanna? People. I did say Deanna. Okay, well, so many people.
You said Deanna twice. Congrats, Deanna.
People are wonderful. We'll see you next time with the heart.